The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
Live from West Babylon, New York, this is Sports Talk 1240.
Good evening, folks. Welcome to Sports Talk 1240. You are with Sweeney and the Waz and Johnny P. John Panarese, Islander expert in the house. However, currently, you're listening to the Jets theme song, which means the Jets played another game.
Misery.
Which means, for another week, I have witnessed what I have classified for over 40 years as Jet football. And the only thing I saw different today, John, that must have...
The coach has no clue what's going on. The defense is Swiss cheese.
I actually sat there...
To sum this up.
...and witnessed the team quit during a game.
7 minutes left in the game. Fourth down, and was it two? And he just punts it. Doesn't go down by 11. You got to go for it right then and there.
That doesn't make sense to me.
Fourth and less than a yard. Right around midfield. I don't care where they were. The 40, the 45.
Doesn't matter. You're down by two scores. You have to
go. Not only are you down by 11 points, but even if you don't get the first down and it's a short field, it doesn't matter because you have to hold them to a field goal so that you're only down by two touchdowns if you're going to look 100%. As an eternal defeatist. Anyway, so you explain to me, how does a football team not go for it on fourth down, down by 11 points? Who is rationally going to call up this show and explain to me how a football organization and its coaches, and I guess we got to put all the weight on the head coach, so someone call me tonight, 631-888-8811 is still the number. I know I was off all summer. But somebody out there in Jetland that thinks they know something about football, call me and explain to me, put my nerves at ease as to why anybody would punt on fourth and short, down by 11 points, with 7.5 minutes to go when you're 1-3, staring at 1-4. Somebody that thinks they know anything about football.
I would be interested in that explanation as well. It makes no sense.
Interesting.
He is... The head coach is lost right now. This team spiraled last year. He got swept by Buffalo. Rex Ryan beat him to the punch, knocked him out of the playoffs. Must win game in that Buffalo game. This game here was last year. This game here today was a must win game to get yourself back on track. Season's done.
Spiraled.
Done.
Let me tell you something. You know why I didn't want to get a guest to the show? On top of the fact we're only doing 60 minutes. You know what I need to guess? Because nobody knows anything about Jet football that writes out there. Not for any blogs, not for any Jet websites, and certainly not for any newspaper, since I don't even bother reading those.
Defense looked horrible today. Linebackers couldn't stop anybody.
Who's really going to explain to me what's going on with New York Jets football? I mean, really, this is a professional football organization? Is this a professional football organization how many people, and yourself included, just for a little bit, man, I think I got you past this point, with all they got a tough schedule. Your schedule is exactly what it is, which is the same as everybody in your division. Now, I never heard organizations that win year in and year out that compete for titles complain about what their schedule was.
Ever.
Or the layout of road games.
Everybody
road
plays
games.
The same amount of games. That
right.
Good teams,
same teams.
Good teams win football games.
And you got, look, this game was in Pittsburgh. It's always tough winning and playing in Pittsburgh. But still, they had the lead at one point in this game, and they let it go. And they got embarrassed at the end of the game. With me, with two minutes and change left, and Pittsburgh was still going for it. That was just like the on the throat, step on the throat, done.
And that's the way you're supposed to play the game, though, you know.
Why are you even watching with 2.5 minutes to go? I mean, really?
I thought maybe...
Really? What'd you think?
Miracle can happen.
Miracles can happen.
You know, let me just say this for everybody that thinks they know everything about NFL football, because none of you. I'm sure, listen, you know, Cole, he's probably a giant fan. He laughed all day. I read his tweets every once in a while, and some of the other smart guys that work at the station. Nobody knows what's going on or what is supposed to go on. Everybody, oh yeah, the Bengals, oh yeah, you think the Bengals are good? I hope everyone got a good look at the score in Dallas before the fourth quarter started today.
Prescott.
They thought Cincinnati was such a tough team. Yeah. Oh, well, the Jets lost opening game.
Look at Kansas City last week.
28-0.
Kansas City.
And for everybody that thought that Kansas City was so good, oh, they made the playoffs this year. They
got embarrassed last week in Pittsburgh.
No, they didn't even show up.
Got embarrassed last week in Pittsburgh.
They were losing 36-0 before they did anything.
Anything.
I mean, this is what you get. Now, if you want to look at a real organization like the Pittsburgh Steelers,
of course,
go back a few weeks. The Jets get embarrassed by Kansas City 24-3, and the Eagles get, you know, the better part of Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh gets embarrassed 34-3.
And what happens?
So what does Pittsburgh do?
They come
home and they respond.
Yeah, respond.
And they handle and blow out Kansas City
and us,
and then follow it up beating up on the Jets.
31-13.
How do they atone for embarrassment in Kansas City?
Get embarrassed
again.
They
come home and blow a game against Seattle, and I don't care if it's Seattle. If you're a good team, you got to win your home games.
You find ways to win.
And the Jets lost their first two home games. And then they follow it up with today's performance. It's not just one game, or it's not just one opponent. It's everything with the Jets.
But where is this great defense that we're supposed to have? Ben Roethlisberger, 380 yards and 4 touchdowns without even throwing a pick today. He had time to sit back there and throw. Who is this guy? Answer this question to me. Who is this guy, Coates? He comes out of nowhere. 72-yarder right away. The guy should have had 4 touchdowns. He had 2. He couldn't hold on to it. It was like the crazy pick.
Throwing a pick. Where is your vaunted sack exchange that you
where
love all these guys that reside on the D-line? That let me tell you something. That is the one thing that I did get excited about coming into the season. And despite the defensive backs blowing opening day against Cincinnati, I was excited by the fact that the Jets D-line had 7 sacks that day. But I also said to myself, when the hell did the Jets ever put up 7 sacks and lose a game? But at least that's the one thing that I was excited about going forward. You want to know what? The Jets D-line hasn't done a thing since opening day. Nothing. Maybe a couple of sacks. Maybe. Probably from linebackers anyway. Or Williams. At least Leonard Williams showed
me
something
sack today.
On occasion.
We had 1 sack today. That's what they had.
Yeah, that's great. When was that? At the end of the game?
Yeah.
It certainly wasn't when I was watching. So since everybody at WGBB here at Sports Talk 1240 loves to tweet, they think they know everything. Here's how my tweets went today. Okay. Here was the first tweet. This was before kickoff, just because I know I'm a glutton for punishment. Despite knowing what's going on with my team. So I wrote, time for weekly self-inflictment of punishment. New York Jet football begins now. That was my first tweet. Then the Jets start the game with the ball. Tell me where you've seen this before, because I've seen it almost every game.
Every game.
If you want to keep it recent, let's just go back to how the game against Seattle started. That's the way this one started. Jets got the ball, went down the field, couple of nice passes, right? Set up in the red zone. Guess what happened? Jets stole in the red zone. This is what I tweeted. Another great red zone moment for Moses. This is Jets football. Do you know who Moses is, John?
Yeah.
Who is it?
Moses?
Yeah.
Another great is...
Who's Moses?
The head coach.
No.
Who?
Come on, man.
Who?
The beard and the hair? Who's Moses?
Oh, Fitzpatrick.
You're pretty sharp, huh? Yeah. You're about as sharp as Nipsey Russell, the head coach.
Head coach, yeah.
Good job.
Nipsey Russell.
All right.
Moses.
Now, Pittsburgh gets the ball. I don't even know if they ran more than 2 plays. 2 or 3?
Throws a 72.
Bomb. 72-yard bomb.
To
your boy that you mentioned before.
Coach. Who I never heard of him before.
That was my next tweet. It was, well, Revis certainly mented Williams well. Can't even tell he's out of the game. And let me tell you something about Revis. I knew he wasn't playing. The moment he got hurt against Seattle, I knew he wasn't playing in this game. $17 million well spent. In fact, they flushed $29 million down the toilet between his contract and the $12 million they handed out to Mr. Harvard.
Too much. Way too much.
Then Fitzpatrick almost had a third down conversion on the next drive, but Brandon Marshall dropped the ball. Hence my next tweet, which was great contribution there on third down, Brandon. Fitz is bad enough on his own. Try not to help him out. about that? Then, on the next defensive drive, the Jets actually did something I haven't seen them do all year, which is defend the wide receiver screen.
Yeah.
How many times did they get abused by Cincinnati on the wide receiver screen? Or even last week against Seattle, for that matter, since Russell was
AJ Green destroyed.
Since Russell was on one leg.
Yeah. That's what he did. Baldwin had a big game. They destroyed him.
So I tweeted,
the secondary
I'll tell you
horrible.
How the Jets
garbage.
Disrupted and ended that drive. The D finally covered a wide receiver screen properly. How about that? What was my next one? Oh, Folk hit a 48-yard field goal. So I tweeted, Jets team MVP hits another field goal. Jets D better start hitting hard because Pittsburgh's D certainly does. That's one thing that stood out to me. Pittsburgh's defense, man, they gang tackle and they yep. hit hard no matter what point of the game.
Different franchise, like you said.
No matter what down and distance.
A winning franchise to a losing franchise.
No matter what the score, man.
No matter what the score is, right.
Then the Jets get a big special team play by Miles when they throttle the fake field goal attempt by Pittsburgh, right? So now so I'm like, well, maybe we're going to get something going against Pittsburgh because the score is 7-6 at this point. So I'm like, let's see if the Jets O can get things going off of this turnover, right? So they drive the ball down, and Fitzpatrick's on his way to throwing another red zone interception, but Brandon Marshall makes a great play. The Jets score a touchdown, and they take the lead, 13-7. So I tweeted, clutch play by Brandon Marshall to prevent another red zone interception by Mr. Harvard. Big TD catch. Let's go, Jets. So I even tried to be optimistic despite being disgusted with my team. And then, I'm sure this is probably before you got home from your
whatever
shopping excursion you were on.
Family business.
Pittsburgh gets
family
the ball.
Business. Family business.
Now at this point, I'm just hoping the Jets' defensive line does something to help out the defensive backs who would get picked apart. But no. Pittsburgh right down the field. 2-minute drill, no problem.
Score.
14-13 at the half. So I tweeted, 2-minute drill, TD allowed because no pass rush at all.
At all.
And here's my message to all Jet fans. 3 first-round picks on the Jets' D-line and not even worth 1/3 of a sack exchange. I am so tired of this sack exchange 2.0. There is no such thing. These guys are nothing.
They took a couple of steps back from what they did last year. What has happened to this team? They went backwards from what they did last year. And they're digging themselves a huge hole.
Yeah, 1-4 is not...
1-4 is a hole that they're not going to get
out. You're a third of the way through the season.
And that was halftime. 2-minute drill to take the lead at the half. So they seized the momentum just a little bit. You know, stopped the fake field goal attempt, went down the field, got the touchdown. It was a big play by Brandon Marshall. I don't want to make it like Fitzpatrick knows what he's doing or anything. God forbid he earns any of the $12 million they decided to give him at the last minute before the regular season started. Because now the only thing he's shown me is that he didn't spend any time breaking down film of his opponents while he was sitting home.
What was he doing?
Sipping on.
Right. What was he doing this whole time when he was sitting out waiting to get all this big money? And that he's turning down this, turning down that. He doesn't want a longer deal. Turned down a 3-year deal from the Jets.
No,
takes this 1-year deal from them. Thinks he's going to get big bucks. What was he doing all that time?
He's done nothing.
What, he eating hot dogs and hamburgers and hanging out? What was he doing? He should have been preparing for each game. This guy he's supposedly not a dummy. He went to Harvard, didn't he? Should be a smart guy.
He does not read defense as well.
Horrible. He's a journeyman quarterback. He had a fantastic year last year.
Way too often.
He had a fantastic career year last year, and he's trying to cash out. And now we're going backwards. My question to you, both of you guys, is I know there's problems with the defense and this and that, but.
Problems with the defense? He's giving up 25 points a game.
Do you start, or do you have a very short leash? Let me rephrase it. Do you have a short leash on Fitzpatrick next week and throw Geno in there? You tell me, both of you. What do you think?
Does it matter?
Does it? Yeah, I mean,
who cares?
The defense.
Maybe spark them. Do something.
Now, you know what?
Run them. Run around.
Go ahead, Johnny P. What'd you have to say?
No, I mean, it's. I guess if you're going to start pressing the panic button, you try anything at this point. So I could conceivably see it happening, but do I think that's going to solve the problem? Probably not.
Panic button. They're 1-4. They're past panic.
This is past panic. When you're in a division,
and what's changing a quarterback going to do for your defensive back?
That's the other. That's the flip side of the coin.
Listen, they are 1-4. When you're in a division with New England Patriots, who historically wins that division. It's like an automatic.
Buffalo won
three in a row now and turning their whole season around when Rex Ryan was ready to get canned a couple of weeks ago. Okay, they turned it around. They won again today. You are in a huge hole, my friend. And you're going to Arizona on Monday night? That is a must-win. You think if you can get to win that game, good luck. Good luck.
The Pats have owned this division for almost two full decades.
Yeah, I know.
It's disgusting.
Disgusting.
I waved the white flag at that years ago. I'm so past that. I just wanted to see the Jets do something. Do you know what?
Well,
it's the
they had their opportunity.
It's the same thing time after time after time. I've seen this show so many times. Just different actors, different producers, and different directors.
It's funny because that Cincinnati team that everyone says was supposedly so good after week one when they beat the Jets, they've only beat us and they beat Miami. That's how bad. They're 2-3. They're not.
Who's
a good
this
team.
Now?
Cincinnati.
They stink, Cincinnati.
They won their two games. The two
games
and Miami. And us and Miami are the two worst teams in the AFC. Okay?
They stink. It doesn't matter who the GM of the Jets is.
When the Jets do play,
doesn't matter who the head coach is. Doesn't matter who's playing. I see the same thing year after year. And people sit there, like, turn on the Jets. Joey Caparosa. I hear people ripping apart Rex Ryan. Let me tell you something. Rex Ryan may have turned his coaching career around coming off that blowout loss to the Jets on a Monday night, no less.
Yeah.
And he turned or a Thursday night, actually, whatever
Thursday
it was.
Night game, he won.
He may have turned his coaching career around where the Jets go up there and roll up 500 yards offense. Would have blown them out of the building if their D-backs didn't give up those two long touchdown passes.
Yeah, right.
And what happens? The next day, he's on the verge of getting fired, Ryan. They have to fire the offensive coordinator. He goes and wins three games in a row, two against playoff teams from last year that everyone loves to talk about.
Right.
Beating Arizona and then going up and shutting out New England, their first shutout loss at home since 1993. The last time your team won a playoff series in hockey, for Christ's sake. How about that? And then he wins today again on the road. So the Bills have won three games in a row and the Jets have lost three games in a row off of that game in Buffalo. That's just great.
Stand corrected, my friend. They won last year. They got out of the first round. If you're going to start getting jumping.
You just said the first time since 93 it was, wasn't it?
Yes.
Clear the cotton out of your ears.
Okay. Just pay
attention.
All right? Let's not jump.
Write a letter to Woody Johnson and ask him for some Q-tips, because that's all he's good for, is selling Band-Aids and Q-tips. Because he is not the kind of owner that's going to have a winning football organization. He is not football-oriented, and he certainly ain't bringing in the right people to run his organization. I should have known it when Parcells wanted out as soon as he bought the team from Leon Hess. I should have known it then. Shouldn't I have, John?
Yes, you should have. Here's my deal. When you go,
no wonder Belichick left.
Of course Belichick left.
I said no wonder.
Yeah. Best thing that guy ever did.
What Woody Johnson's done for this organization is bringing guys like Tim Tebow to sell tickets and disrupt what they had going good for the first couple of years with Rex Ryan. And any other stunt he can pull to raise some money for his pocketbook.
When did Johnson buy the team? What was the year?
He had to buy him 2000, 2001 he had to buy. I think he bought him right around 2000, I want to say. Maybe 99?
Makes perfect sense.
Because Parcells left, we stepped down from coaching after the 99 season when he was going to put Belichick in charge. So, yeah, he must have sold right around 99.
There you go.
He's just not a good owner.
Not a good owner.
He's not. And it shows. If he had any spine, and I'm not saying that I hate Todd Bowles, but I'm telling you right now, if I owned the Jets, he would have been fired right after that game was over. As soon as I verified that he was the one that said, no, we're punting here, right. I'd be like, guess what? You're fired. Now. That's it.
He did some blunders in this game.
That's not a blunder. That's giving up.
Giving up. He gave up.
And then tell me what coach on the headset would let a guy make that decision.
You don't give
anyway.
Up in the NFL, because the NFL's not for long, my friend.
Come on.
That's right.
You don't give up. When you show weakness as the head coach, your players will show weakness. That's why, look at this. I'm just going to say something. They got to go to Arizona. I'm just going to.
I don't want to hear their schedule. No, I don't. I don't care. I don't want to hear about it. Did you watch the second half?
Yeah.
Here's my last few tweets with regards to the first half. Did you see the time when Ben fed that interception to Williams and he dropped it?
Yes.
Did you see that moment?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? That was my next tweet. Special delivery from Big Ben. Marked return to sender by Jets D-back Williams. That was an atrocious, egregious error in not taking advantage of a spoon-fed turnover. Are you kidding me? That was almost as painful as watching some of the red zone opportunities that Fitzpatrick's had during the first 5 weeks throwing picks into the end zone.
Nine picks in two games.
And then I just tweeted about the Jets D-line being a total failure. And then, obviously, the quitting moment was my last tweet. The Jets just gave up with 7.5 to go, so now I am too. Time to get ready for a workout so I can do something productive. And that was the end of my day. Oh, the last tweet was, I'm a Jets diehard. I just wanted to remind people, in case they were reading, not knowing who I was. I am a Jets diehard right now. But right now, I hate this team. I do.
Yeah.
And I put all caps, because I really was screaming at the time I was taping.
Well, the team is enough to give you aggravation and stomach pains. You hear this?
I'm going to take a day off from tweet now.
Unbelievable. Right, John?
It is. It's just amazing. With all the expectation, you know, with the start of the season.
They were so close. They were supposed to be going better, getting ahead and getting better.
Yeah.
They did like 4 or 5 steps backwards this year.
You know what? We got a call on hold. Let's take the call. Let's go to Maddie from Islip. Maddie, are you there?
I'm here.
What's going on, my man?
What's going on? Some reason I only got part of the show. I can't seem to get it up on my computer tonight.
Okay.
I did catch a Jet rant. I was going to start my line off with saying, first of all, hello, John and John. How are you?
How's it going, Maddie?
Good.
We stop talking about the Jets, and let's just look forward towards hockey season. it's pathetic. It was painful. It was probably one of the first Sundays I had free where I actually got a chance to watch most of the game. And actually, like you said, Derek, I had a little bright, shining light there for a moment when they came watching down the field and Brandon Marshall made that great catch.
Yeah, the first half, yeah.
And then it all just went away.
13-7, and they ended up losing 13-31.
And they just decided not to show up the rest of the game. And it's disgusting. I've had it. Like I said, let's just focus now totally on the start this week and hockey season.
Yeah, you know what, Matt? And you're a good caller, so I'm going to actually hold you past the break because we're going to start the hockey season preview after the break at 8:30. But I got to say this much, just to be honest with everybody. I got totally disgusted and, like, outside my body with rage a few weeks ago when they played the Chiefs. I was so disgusted with that effort. I got to be honest with you. Last week, I just watched against Seattle. I didn't let it bother me. This week, John had asked me to come down and do the show with them. I said, fine. I wouldn't have even cared about talking about the Jets, period, until I witnessed them quitting with 7.5 minutes to go. I've never seen that. Like, Matt, you watched the game. When have you ever seen a team? Can you rationally explain why you would punt on 4th and short at midfield or around midfield down by 11 points? Can you explain to me rationally why you would do that?
No, there's no explanation for it. You can't give a rational explanation
for it. I think he's over his head. I think it's time. He's in a lot of trouble right now. I think he's lost. The team's gave up
on
him.
It's not good enough.
The team gave up on him.
I've seen that with Herm Edwards. Herm Edwards needed a clock management coach because he didn't know how to manage the clock.
Well, he did the same thing today.
I've seen this time and time again with different coaches. But what I witnessed at that 7.5 minute mark, I've never seen that. I was okay until I saw that, and I'm like, you know what? Now I've had it. That you're going to quit? You're a professional sports organization, and you're going to quit like that with that decision-making? A monkey could have made that decision.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That's a no-moss situation.
Your defenses are going to come up with something big for you.
Well, I don't know what he was thinking, because they haven't done anything all day. They were letting them be.
All season.
Where are the linebackers? They can't stop anybody. Tight ends over the middle. This guy Coates comes out of nowhere. And catches his bomb, has a big day.
Can't defend tight ends in coverage. Can't defend the wide receivers.
That guy was actually helping.
He
dropped 2 touchdowns, that guy, too.
The only thing they were good at is stopping teams from running all over them. But that's because teams are just choosing to pass because all of a sudden this season, because I don't think the personnel really changed from last year. But all of a sudden this year, we can't defend not only passes in coverage. We can't defend the long ball. Have you ever seen so many long completions against the Jets? We're only five games in, Matt.
That first touchdown was just a straight speed route.
Yeah.
And there was no – how many times have we seen the Raiders this year where there's no safety help anymore?
Matt, it happens once a game. It's A.J. Green.
It's like watching Rex all over again.
Yes.
Can we not make a halftime adjustment anywhere?
Every week they've gotten burned deep. Buffalo did it twice. Every week they've gotten burned. A.J. Green did it. This week with this Colts guy. Didn't Baldwin have a big touchdown last week?
Who cares?
I'm just saying every week
everybody gets a big touchdown against the Jets. It looks like a college game just started that first play through that 70-yard bomb. I'm just – this team makes me sick. They got six – count them. Six, except the great Revis, who was out today because of his torn little hamstring or whatever he's got. They have six first-round picks that live on that defensive unit. Six first-round picks from within, homegrown, and that's the defense. That's where they dictated they were going to build their winning team is on defense, and that's what I got to watch every week. They give up about 27, 28 points a game. That ain't a defense.
No.
That's a disgrace.
That's a disgrace.
Matty, can you stay with us? Because we're going to go to break. I'm going to bring you back and let you start in with J&J here on the Island of Talk right after the break.
Absolutely, I'll stick around.
All right, folks, we're going to go to break now. When we come back, it's NHL season, fast approaching, starting this Wednesday. Thursday night, Islanders Rangers meet on opening night, first time since 1998. We're going to get those previews going right after this break. Come on back.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240 on Long Island's AM 1240. WGBB.
Country Foot Care, official podiatrists of the New York Lizards, have been delivering state-of-the-art foot care with good old-fashioned caring to Long Island residents for over 30 years. Specialists in sports medicine and foot injuries, Country Foot Care can be reached at 516-741-FEET or online at countryfootcare.com.
Want to advertise your business on Sports Talk 1240? Place an ad on sportstalk1240.com and run a radio commercial during the show every Sunday night here on AM 1240 WGBB. Our rates are very affordable. We'll even produce the radio commercial for you. Just head over to sportstalk1240.com and fill out the Contact Us form and let us start promoting your business today.
Unflippable, unflappable, unleakable. The Gustbuster is the only umbrella that won't flip inside out, rip, tear, or leak. Capable of withstanding winds over 55 miles per hour. All of our umbrellas are constructed of the finest quality materials and backed by a limited lifetime guarantee. What are you waiting for? Visit Gustbuster.com and get your Gustbuster today.
Stay connected to Sports Talk 1240 by following us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Sports Talk 1240.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240, broadcasting every Sunday night beginning at 8 p.m. right here on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB, the station that serves your community. And now, back to the show.
All right, let's liven it up now, Johnny. And Johnny? John and John.
Yeah.
I don't like that because it kind of reminds me of Johnson and Johnson. But we're going to make it positive now because the NHL season is coming up. And you guys are all juiced up because your team finally won a playoff series for the first time in decades. And I'm a little excited because my team addressed some of their problems that got them bounced and embarrassed in the first round last year. By bringing in some speed, by bringing in some defensive responsibility in terms of forwards, and by getting younger. The Rangers got younger.
Rangers got younger, and the Islanders went the opposite way.
Yeah.
They got older.
They
turned into like the fifth oldest team in the NHL.
Is that what they are now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that a bad sign?
That's a good sign.
I don't know.
Well, we'll see.
All right,
here we go.
Since Matty from Islip held for so long,
yes,
before we even put him on about the Jets, now it's all about you and your Islanders and the two guys across from me, Matty. So what would you like to talk about with J&J here?
I'm a little disappointed not to see any orange, blue, and white on either one of them tonight. We'll address that another time. I got a little undercover tonight.
Yeah, I actually was going to wear my Tavares jersey, and I don't know why I chose not to. I don't know.
I went with the Mets tonight, my friend, because of...
Their season's over, my friend.
I know it is, but the Islanders are coming back. It's okay.
They cracked open that champagne a game too soon. You know?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So I am, the thing that excites me about this Islander team is the same thing that concerns me. We did get older. I'm going to be very interested to see how this lad, Parento-Tavares line starts off.
Yeah.
Terrible final preseason game tonight.
Yeah.
Against the Capitals.
Well, you know what, though, Manny? It could only get better from what they had last year from Stroman and Bailey with Tavares on that line.
No.
So we're only upgrading.
But we're still a team with Josh Bailey in the lineup.
Yeah. Well, you're lucky Gary's not here.
And Ryan Strome played pretty well with that young line in the playoffs last year.
Yeah, he sure did.
Let's see how those guys develop. Let's see how Quine develops. I think Prince is starting the season on the injured reserve. But that kid, Beauvier, looked really good in the preseason. I'd like to see how he does against regular season rosters.
Yeah, that's the big question is what they're going to do with Beauvier and Barzal.
Barzal.
If they're going to keep them around or not. Right now, they're still technically on the roster, but final rosters have to be in by Tuesday at noon, I believe.
Okay. And, grabbing Seidenberg like they did is a no-brainer.
That was a nice pickup. I like that. I like having, he's better. To me, he's an upgrade over Zdlitsky.
Absolutely.
Yes. I think he's still got gas left in the tank, and he was also Johnny B's defensive partner.
I just hope it doesn't take away too much from Pulak's development,
who
I think was a very nice surprise late in the season last year and had a very solid performance.
That's my concern, too, because you want him to get some time out there. You want him to have time on the power play.
Yes.
And having Seidenberg in the lineup, does that mean that Seidenberg's going to end up getting power play time?
Yeah, I haven't seen, I don't think they had a power play last night. If they did against the Capitals game, I didn't get to watch the matchups on it. So.
Yeah, I don't know.
Should have a pretty exciting opening game of the season, the first time. Derek probably would know the last time that they opened against one another.
Yeah, you know what I said?
1998, right?
1998. I actually looked it up one day at home because I didn't really recall off the top of my head. And they've only played once on opening night, and it was in 98, and it was a 2-2 tie.
I think it's smart to do it, especially coming off the season that both teams had last year and building that success and keep that rivalry alive. They don't play each other enough, I think, during the regular season anymore. With the way the division is structured.
Yeah, because of that. That's the one thing. He took away so many games just to kind of even things out so that you see all the teams from the West, at least two times or whatever.
I guess it's good in a certain way. That old black and blue division used to beat the hell out of each other going into the playoffs.
What do you think about the goalie situation with us? Are they going to go with three goalies, or are they going to just use Greiss and Halak?
I think you stick with Greiss and Halak. There's nothing that Berube has shown.
Yeah, and that's...
That justifies him being up here. He didn't really, thrill anybody. Greiss, earned a start in the beginning of the season based on his performance last year. He really carried us through stretches in that playoff.
Definitely. I mean, him and Tavares were the reason why they got out of that round with Florida.
I'm just happy everybody came back healthy from the World Cup.
I'm a big
fan of these things, but, especially as what happened with the Olympics with Tavares, the impact it could have on your regular season, I think, is just a great risk.
A couple of teams took some pretty – I think Dallas lost like three or four guys from the World Cup or something.
I agree with you 100%. I don't know how – if I was an owner, we're fans and we're biting our nails with this. We don't want anything to happen to our superstar. It's just you don't want to take away something that they could jeopardize the whole season with these guys being out, like what happened with us with Tavares in the Olympics.
Right.
Yeah, the rest of that season was over and done with.
Yeah, it was done. It was done like the Jet season. It's done. Finished. So let me ask you a question. Now, we got this big game coming up Thursday. Is the luster without Martin, you think it's going to be a bang-bang smash-em game? How do you think? I mean, we don't have – is Bolton going to be out there?
Already sent down to Bridgeport, I think.
Yeah, that's what I think.
Honestly,
is Glass going to
run roughshod over us the whole game?
We're still missing –
No, but why would you even dress Bolton? Like, who do you think the Rangers are suiting up that's going to go after anybody?
Well, right.
It's the Ranger Islanders. It ain't the game.
The league is different though now. It's not the same like it was back then.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a different kind of rivalry now.
I think it's going to be fast-paced. They'll be hitting.
You got guys that can definitely hit.
Yeah.
Travis Hamonic doesn't mind putting the body on anybody back there. Nor a couple other defensemen. I think it's going to be an exciting start to the season.
I think it's great.
Losing Matt Martin for what Toronto wanted to pay him, good riddance.
Good riddance. Let's
put things in perspective there.
Yeah, I agree with you.
A fan favorite he was, and I liked Matt Martin a lot. For the amount of ice time that fourth line had, that point production didn't match it.
And no, I agree with you 100%.
Second of all, Toronto, made, I remember reading in the paper, Toronto wanted him to bring that to help protect some of their young stars. When did he do that here? And I don't know if that
was on him, or
if that was Capuano yanking him on the collar saying he's not allowed to do it because nobody's ever taken Dion Phaneuf to test for laying out Tavares years ago. And nobody has taken on the Capitals and Ben Will and Wilson for all their hits in the playoffs two years ago.
Absolutely.
So where has that been good, that great protection from him? It's great that he's out there and he hits and he sparks things up, but for the money that Toronto wanted to pay him, I think it was a smart move. I think the biggest
hit we're going to get is Franz not being there because he plays a two-way player.
Losing Franz is a big...
I still don't understand it. I still don't understand why he made that decision.
Franz is in his 30s, all right?
But Toronto threw 30. A lot of money and a lot of years at Franz Nielsen, too. So that's a tough. It's tough to be overly critical on that deal as well. As much as I'd like to keep him, you do have Casey Zizekas for the face-offs. It's nice to keep a guy that developed with us and has grown as much as he has. But Toronto, again, you know, look at the money that a lot of these mid-level players got during the offseason.
Well, look at what's his face on Boston? Just got $49 million.
Marchand. Yeah, but you know what? That guy, if he's not on your team, I can't stand Brad Marchand. Anytime, I'm always hoping for somebody to lay him out. But I'll tell you something about that little guy. He's a tough, strong little kid, and he turned himself into a 30-goal scorer.
Oh, yeah.
He warranted and at least deserved what he got.
Yeah.
He's won a cup with that team. Yes. He's done a lot for that franchise.
He sure has.
There were other contracts handed out that I kind of scratched my head. Like, why would you give this guy that kind of money? But let me ask you three guys this question. I guess just sitting back as a Ranger fan, I kind of look at it quick. I'm like, all right, maybe that's a wash. So if I match up Chimera with Ladd and Parenteau, and then you got Okposo, right, and the other two guys, Martin and Nielsen that left, is that close enough to a wash, the 3-for-3 trade-off in terms of the forward roster there or no?
I think so. I think you get a better offensive player, an overall player in Chimera who can still lay the body on people.
He had a great year last year. Yeah.
He's a worker. Yeah.
Than Martin and puts up more points than Martin does.
Yes, clearly. He's more talented. Yeah. Yes.
Ladd, I don't know enough about Ladd to say for certain. But again, with Okposo, you look at his numbers, considering he was on the top line at Tavares, they really weren't as impressive as they should have been.
Well, and you got to wonder how much of Okposo's production came playing on the top line. I've not seen a split statistically as to when he played on the first line and when he was not.
That's a great point, John. Very true.
Well, I know he never carried the team because the year 2014 when Tavares got hurt.
In the lockout shortened year, he stepped up in a big way in that Pittsburgh series.
He never
developed off of that.
Yeah, he turned the corner in that playoff series. I remember him having a big fight, scoring a big goal, and he got going and started developing and getting his career.
That's when he turned his career.
Grow on that,
but
though.
In the 2014 year when the Rangers went to the Cup, I remember right around that Olympic break, the Islanders were in the playoff race, and Tavares got hurt, and I don't recall him carrying the team whatsoever after that.
And I'm an Okposo.
So that's why I really wouldn't be too worried.
And I'm a big Okposo fan, but, you know.
He's all right. I mean, he's not
he's fine, but he's not, you know.
I'm not going to miss him.
Yeah, I mean, he.
With the money that Buffalo wanted to pay him? Okay.
Right, exactly. You know, right, that's exactly it.
Like, Ladd's a 30-year-old now, but at least he's demonstrated over the last 4 or 5 years that you should expect at least 25 goals from him.
And it's his leadership.
He's a demonstrated goal scorer.
Well, now
we've
got a bunch of guys that won cups now. We got guys that are right. He won a cup.
I think they're still hungry to win another one, though.
What?
Yeah.
They're still hungry to win another one.
Well, here's my question. I mean, you agree? I think the X factor in whether the Islanders have overall success is going to be if some of these guys have bounced back seasons from last season, namely Ryan Strome, Brock Nelson, and Anders Lee.
Right. I think it's a very valid point, John.
You know, that's what we need.
I will tell you this. If Strome does not step up his game big time, and I mean big time, they better decide if they're going to keep him up here or not, or like what they did last year. Because last year he went back, took about three or four steps backwards the other way compared to what he did the
year
before.
He did, and you know, he, from what I've read, he's not really been that impressive in preseason. You know, you'd think he'd come out all full of, you know, pee and vinegar, ready to prove himself that he belongs on this team. The guy had, what, 53, 57 points a couple of seasons ago. And, you know, he's got to make a statement. There's guys who are ready to step in and take his place on the roster. It's not a given.
Right.
Well, maybe that's what needs to happen in John.
Was he fourth or fifth overall pick? That's nothing.
Who's this?
Ryan Strome.
Number one. He was like a fourth, number four.
He's been a disappointment.
Yeah.
He had some big moments in the playoff series against Florida. Yeah, but in terms of regular season progress,
considering where he was drafted, hell yeah, man.
Is Barzell starting? Is he a starting 12 forward for you guys coming in?
I don't know. Right, him and Bouvillier are kind of on the bubble as to what they're going to do. They may keep him around for nine just to see and send him back to juniors, because you do have Dalcal and Hosang are on the Bridgeport roster.
Right.
And Hosang had a very impressive camp.
Well, Hosang has impressed me more in every year I've seen him than Del Cole has.
He definitely
got his
stuff together. I mean, whatever, he had a gut check, a mental, you know, he did basically what Strome should have done coming into camp. You know, he knew he had something to prove. Mm-hmm. He knew he had to make a statement being to stay with this team and show that he's a professional. And give the guy a lot of credit. He did it.
And Strome didn't. And he said all the right things about it, too. I mean, it was my mistake. I needed to learn.
Right. Right. And Strome didn't. You know, Strome, you know, it wasn't a given. You know, he should have came in here with the attitude that he was going to prove to people that he belongs here. And, you know, he's going to have to do it. You know, if he's going to center that line, what, they have him on the second line?
Yeah.
You know, he's going to have to prove that he belongs there.
I agree with you 100% with that, 100%. Well, we'll see what happens when the season goes. We're looking forward to it.
How soon before you're firing Capuano, John Sweeney?
Yeah.
You know what? Listen.
No, go ahead, tell us.
No, I'm telling you. Listen. I'm giving the guy a lot of credit right now because we got out of the first round. Hey, look, that was like, you know, to me, this is to me.
This the is, second winningest like, coach like, in franchise history.
Yes, second
he?
Winningest coach. He's the lowest paid.
Getting past that first round is a big monkey off their back.
Yes,
yeah.
But, it's a huge monkey off
look,
their back.
If you agree with me with this, really, you got to look at it. We haven't got out of the first round so long, and to me, getting out of that first round this year, last year, was like us winning the cup for me. You know, I was close. Mm-hmm. Not exactly like that. I wanted better this year. We want to go further this year. But I'm just saying, I'm happy what he did. And he's the lowest paid coach in the league, and you know we got what we got. We got it is what it is. But they're not going to go out and get a top guy to pay him all that money.
That's a problem. Let me say that
Capuano. Hold on, I'm not going to kill Capuano right now. We get out of the first round. I'm happy.
Let me just say this: uncertainty in that franchise and stability and where they're going to be playing year to year. I still think
right, especially with all the rumors in the offseason.
And what that roster looks like, I think he's done
certainly
an above average job.
Right.
Let me just comment on listening to the 3 years. I agree with all of you. You're basically saying that it really depends on these young homegrown guys. So all those forwards you named, you know, like Bailey and Brock Nelson and Anders Lee. Bailey's still one of those former first-round picks.
Yeah, you're right. Okay? You're right. So, he's another guy who's got a star. I forgot to mention his name.
You have to name all those guys. The only thing I think on defense, you know what you're getting with Boychuk, you know what you're getting with Letty, you know what you're getting with Hamannik, but even those guys like DeHaan and Pulick, it is up to those guys because I'll always go back to the one thing that is still the factor sitting right over everything that revolves around the Islanders. And it's that, you know, okay, three guys left, three guys came in. You guys are pointing to the young guys and their progress, and I'm still looking at the same thing. I'm looking at a one-man gang named John Tavares, and I'm still looking at a team now with new owners that has not added a significant Robin to his Batman.
You're absolutely right.
I've not done that. And that's why I agree with what the three of you are saying, that those young guys
have to step it up.
That have been drafted and nurtured to whatever point they're at right now, they all need to contribute probably a little bit more offensively, but not terribly, because I think they're still, last year they were like 7th or 8th in team scoring, right there with the Rangers.
Yeah.
But defensively, they were much better protecting leads last year. They were much better coming back when down by a goal or so. So I just think that for the Islanders, power play probably has to, you know, improve somewhat for them. But I think those young guys, You know, you're gonna have to get big performances from guys because the owners still haven't shown me that they're gonna bring in the
right
next star
right.
or key like notable role players surround Tavares with.
You know, and here was the thing. I for whatever the reason, in the back of my mind this whole summer, I had the thought that Garth was waiting and was gonna make a last minute trade. And I thought that Halak was gonna be the piece that was going to be part of that trade to bring a quality, you know, elite winger onto the team. But I think that Halak's performance in the world, you know, at the World Cup, I think probably changed a lot of thinking in the organization.
Right.
Because he was hurt last year.
Yeah.
During the playoffs.
That's my opinion. That's certainly not based on anything I know insight wise.
Now, Gary's Gary.
That point though, John.
No, we meet with Garth every year in the Booster Club. He has this end of the year meeting with all of us, me, Gary, and
yeah,
John
the island. Of North, yeah, we
and
go to the meeting.
And we right, Garth's great. Garth loves you know, John and Gary. But I want to say this: he answered a couple of questions out there. He said, "Look, I'm not happy with 103 scoring 103 points and getting out of the first round. This and that. I want to.
They didn't have 103 points.
101 points.
101.
You didn't have 101 either. You finished behind the Rangers.
They.
Remember you threw that game.
Yeah.
That's right.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
100
points. This is what he was saying. He's not happy with that situation. He wants to do better.
Yeah.
And that's what he was. This is what he said before he made all these moves. He was going to do better.
Yeah. And this was before any of it happened.
Now, like we just talked about, like Derek just brought up, are we better now than we were with Oposo, Franz, and Martin gone?
That's the question. Are you?
That's
are you
the
better?
Question.
That's a good question.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's a three.
We're older. Road. We're
you
older.
Tell me, are you better or no?
Well, hold on.
You got to say this before it starts, not during it. Are you better going in this year?
You know what? You know what? Do I feel? Part of me says yes, and then part of me says, "Wait a minute. I think we could have done better." Because according to what Garth was saying, how he wants to upgrade the team so much more, right, John?
Yeah.
Did he do it? I don't know. I'm on the fence right now because I have to wait and see.
Okay. Hold on. Johnny P.
You want me to
better
commit?
Now or not?
I think they're slightly better. And I think they're slightly better because I think it's a year experience, you know, under their belt, having that win. But like I said, to me personally, there's too many factors that need to be to see what happens.
But you know what? The bottom line is they should have got, like Derek was saying, you got one superstar, King of the Hill, Johnny Tavares, and who's around him? You got
a lot of big name free agents available to you.
Right.
Right, I know. Right.
Well, you know, let's see what happens with Ladd playing, you know, on that in Parento, and that could be the answer.
Remember, who put Pierre Parento on the map? That was him playing on the line with Tavares.
Right.
And so, he jumped at the big money after he had that great season
playing
on the line with Tavares. So maybe they can light that fire again.
I will say we're a little better.
He had a good season with Colorado, and then he had a lot of injuries that sort of hampered him, since that. He had a pretty decent season, the follow-up season, when he played with Colorado, but then he was hurt. Right? He had different problems that kept him out of the lineup.
Matty from Islip, are they better going into the season, yes or no?
We're slightly better because I like to build on the youth that we have.
All right,
I agree with you. Slightly better. I'm gonna turn the knob one notch.
I'm not gonna dispute it because I don't study the Islanders like you guys do. I just have that thing that just always sticks out to me.
I agree. I agree.
And what's around them?
I agree. Absolutely.
And I don't mean to get on your case, Johnny.
You're 100% right.
But the reason I get, you know, because if you ask me, what do you think about it? I know the Rangers got better. You know, that's just a flat out fact. And Matt, we're going to keep you with us, but we only have 5 minutes left, so we got to spend a little time on the Rangers.
So if we must.
What's that?
If we must.
Why do you think the Rangers got better? Why do you think the Rangers got better?
Well, one, they got younger, first of all.
Yeah.
All right, Dan Boyle retires.
Right.
He's gone. They saved money and got younger on D.
Got rid of Yandle.
Yandle left, saved a ton of money there because nobody was paying him $6 million in Rangerland.
Yeah, Nash is still there. Lundqvist is still there.
Yeah, Lundqvist is the goalie. He's a Hall of Fame goalie.
Okay,
you got a problem with him still being there? You got a better solution?
I think he's gone a couple. I think he's gone a step or two back.
Really?
Yeah.
A step or two back?
Yeah, I really do.
Well, he's older.
Yeah.
So you don't think he's any good?
No.
He's
a Hall of Famer.
I think he's
a Hall of Famer.
He's still where the Rangers begin and end.
I'm saying I think he took a step backwards, and you will see that this year. and you're going to be screaming and yelling, pulling your hair out like you usually do.
I only judge him in the postseason.
And you want to read your tweets when Lindquist starts looking up these Mickey Mouse little.
Well, who's better, Lundqvist or your goalie situation? You tell me.
Who would I rather have?
Really? Who do you think 15 experts on NHL.com, who do you think they'd select?
Of course they're going to select Lindquist.
Then just sit there and be quiet since we're done talking about the Islanders.
By the top 50.
No.
You ask me how the Rangers got better, I'm going to tell you how they got better.
Go. All right? Gandel's gone.
You save $6 million a year.
Right.
All right? Boyle retires.
Right.
Defensively, you got younger. Brady Shea's going in, and even the guys they brought in, Nick Holden, and more importantly, this kid, Adam Clendenning, who can move the puck on the power play. You got younger on D and a little skill acquired for less money, much less money. They made a trade to shake up the roster. The key was they didn't trade a young homegrown guy. They traded Brassard, good offensive production, but he wasn't from within. They had traded previously for him.
Right.
He was with Columbus.
Right.
The trade they made, they acquired a guy who's a much better two-way center. This kid, Zibanejad, he plays the game 200 feet, end-to-end, two-way center, kills penalties. One of the Rangers' Achilles, special teams last year. Zibanejad addresses that right away. Plus, he puts up points, and he's fast. If anybody questioned the Rangers' lack of speed, forget acquiring a guy like Michael Grabner or something like that. Zibanejad brings a ton of speed to the game. This other guy they brought in, Brandon Peary, also. But I'm telling you right now, you keep a lookout for 93. He's going to be a big part of what goes on offensively. Not only on the power play, great puck mover, nice one-time shot, which the Rangers have been missing for years from the right side, but kills penalties. He's going to be one of those guys, you know, a combination of Patrice Bergeron, that two-way type center, you know, Kopitar same way, but he's giving you a ton of speed. He's going to give you a ton of offense.
You're saying this guy, he's going to be...
I think that's the advantage of that trade, getting rid of... Because Brassard was like the poster child for the problems with the Rangers last year, was lack of defense from your forwards. As lazy as they were coming back in defensive responsibility, I'm telling you right now. And as far as I know, a Ranger fan, most of their concern is always, they're always harping on get rid of Girardi and Mark Stahl. I'm telling you right now.
I don't agree with that.
Three of the four previous years, the Rangers went semifinals, the finals in 2014. I think you're going to see a big difference with 60 extra days off to rest, rehab, and train. You're going to see a much different Girardi, in my opinion. I'm not saying he's going to play like he did in his but he's only 31, 32. And I think Mark Stahl just turned 30.
But I like both of those guys.
I think both of them are good. I don't see why Ranger fans would want to get rid of that.
Because people complain about their own players, just like we did with the Jets, and I know I feel justified because I am, but it's the same thing, you know, with the Rangers.
I take Girardi and Stahl any day of the week.
A lot of Ranger fans will point to those guys before they heap the blame on Lundqvist. I don't know why Sweeney gets on my case, because he knows that the first guy I blame in the playoffs is Lundqvist anyway, because he's supposed to be the savior.
That's right.
So you ain't opening my eyes to anything. He's judged in the postseason by what he does. Whether he wants to be the Dan Marino of goalies or he wants to reach for that cup and raise it over his head, he'll make that decision. But this team definitely got better. And, you know, Matt and Johnny.
You're saying you got younger and faster.
Even for the draft picks they gave up to get like a St. Louis a couple of years ago, to bring in a guy, you know, like Yandel and some other trades they had made, the Rangers have done a great job at stealing former first-round picks from other teams. You know, Hayes has a lot to prove, Kevin Hayes. He's one of those young guys that I'm looking at and seeing if he can get back to the way he was as a rookie as opposed to what he did last year performance-wise. But they got him from Chicago. He was a former first-round pick. This year they picked up as an undrafted free agent this kid, Vizi. So he won the college award for best college hockey player, right? So, I mean, they have a knack. They grabbed the guy from Calgary, this guy Gilmore. He's a defenseman. They sent him to the minors. So they added Jimmy Vesey, a couple of guys on defense. Not only did they have Zibanejad, but now they got this young Russian kid, Butchnevich.
But I heard he's skinny.
Pavel Butchnevich, skinny. He's like 6'1", but he looks like he weighs about 120 pounds. But the kid's got skill. He can skate. This is not a fighting league anymore. I watched him. He was impressive in a couple of the preseason games I saw.
Is he on the roster, or did they send him?
Oh, he's with them. He's with them.
What about Vesey?
He's with them. They got rid of Tanner Glass. They put him on waivers, sent him to the minors. Whether he goes back over to Europe or not remains to be seen. And Tanner Glass, they put him on waivers. And now he's in the minors because they don't need a guy like Tanner Glass unless, you know, they're going to want to fight with teams, which really doesn't happen anymore.
Right.
If you check out their roster, I'm telling you, they got much faster at the forward position. Forward and defense, they got younger. And the big key for me as a diehard Ranger fan, and even just building a winning team, is they didn't get rid of any of their young homegrown guys that were a part of that building phase and that winning experience of going deep into the playoffs and the embarrassment of getting bounced the way they did last year.
You still got. So, I'm going to say this though.
So in terms of what's coming up,
let's see what's coming up, because you still have Mr. Rick Nash, Mr. Ghost.
Yeah.
And what is he getting? $7 million a year.
Yeah, but the Rangers don't rely on one player like the Islanders do. They don't. Right?
I mean, the Rangers don't rely on Nash
the way the Islanders rely on Tavares. So.
You rely on Lindquist, though.
And I want to thank you, Matt, for calling.
Yeah, thanks, Matt.
No problem.
Anyway, hold on.
Well, go ahead, what?
But the Islanders now also have a defense.
Yeah, okay. All right. We're going to see.
Compliment. If two guys on the defense won't come.
I talked about them.
Wojciech,
I like them.
And Letty.
Yeah, they're coming back.
All right.
They're coming back. But the Rangers have stepped it up. Speed and special teams.
Well, let's hope the Islanders.
Let's hope it's
Rangers.
A good season for everybody.
Big game Thursday.
Enjoy opening night. Rangers Islanders.
They do a lot better than what the Jets have been doing at 1-4. Making me sick.
We'll see you next month when the Jets are 1-10 or something like that.
They got Cleveland and Miami coming up. They got to win those games.
The views expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.